Woo! We're back again, another episode of Dying Breed Discussions. It's your host, Lewis Blaine Anderson. Man, do I got a fiery show for you guys, because I'm coming at one of the people I adore in media. Oh man, I gotta take this head off real quick. The thing is, let's just go right into this podcast. Joe Rogan is going to be dethroned. And regardless of all the people trying to support him and try to say, oh, this is just a hit job and blah, Joe Rogan fucked up. He admits he fucked up. He said many of time on his podcast, plenty of times he has said, there are tapes, there are videos out there that one day when they surface and they catch on, I'm fucked. He said it. He's taking it like a man. He's saying what I did was stupid. It was egregious. I should have never said it. Other people, see, the problem is everyone is trying to justify what he did like he did nothing wrong. No, he made the biggest mistake you can make as a white person in America in the public eye. You cannot, that's automatic cancel. Spotify wasn't touching his episodes. Spotify wasn't touching anything until the N-word video came out. The misinformation bullshit, whatever, that's opinion. That's a matter of opinion. Whether you believe in vax, non-vax, all that other shit, mask, no mask, that's all opinion and information changes. But the Planet of the Apes comment and the contemplation of him constantly saying the N-word, that's a wrap. But the thing is, when that polarizes people and that makes people jump towards your side, that shows what's in that other person's heart, not yours. Because Joe Rogan's right now on all over the internet apologizing for his actions, telling everyone how dumb his actions were. He's saying these actions weren't, he's grown since then. He's a better person since then. You know, and he's put a lot of black people on the map. He's taken a lot of black people on tour with him, which I know is a fact. I don't believe Joe Rogan is racist by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't say those things, especially on camera. Now, the best thing for it to happen right now, best thing to happen right now would be for like Dave Chappelle give him his black card and say, I vouch for Joe Rogan to say the N-word. He's on my ticket and he can say whatever he wants. And black comics come to his defense. That's one thing. But it was just a bad joke. There was no, and he realized it was a bad joke in real time. So there's just no way to defend it. I don't know if it's going to hurt his money or not. I really don't think so. His deal with Spotify is pretty much ironclad, but he's going to have to deal with the repercussions of it. I mean, because he should have to. When a black kid makes a mistake, when someone in a bad neighborhood makes a mistake, they have to live with the consequences of their mistake. When they pull that trigger, when they're robbing a store, they're not thinking this is going to take that man's life. They're not thinking about, this is going to ruin my life forever. They're not thinking about sitting in a jail cell, but they do. Forever. And see the reaction that we could all learn from right now is that him saying the N-word over and over and over and over. And I'm black and I'm saying N-word, mind you. I can say nigga all I want and I'm saying N-word to try to set a better example. So him saying the N-word over and over and over and over, that empowers other people when he gets in trouble to say, well, if he's getting in trouble for this, this is just racism. This isn't racism. They're just trying to hold him down. They're trying to censor him. He shouldn't be censored for this, blah, blah, blah. It emboldens the people who are saying he did nothing wrong at all, which is complete bullshit. To me, like Jordan Peterson's daughter, Michaela Peterson, if you ever hear, I will debate you and your father at the same time and mop the fucking floor with both of you. And that's the thing. Like, I don't have to keep calling people out like I have before. And I've been, trust me, if you look at her debates and her topics on Twitter, and you watch her podcast, the people she has on Twitter, like the guy on Critical Race Theory, if you look at that guy, you can tell there's something wrong with him in his demeanor. The way his upper lip tucks in his mouth like a beak, talking about Critical Race Theory. How are you gonna study? Of course you're trying to disprove it, because Critical Race Theory pretty much, it's about white people. It's all about white people being wrong and doing things that aren't right to race. It's about the system being founded on improving it, and the whole system being for white people to succeed, which it was. That's the whole point. That's why all the other things, and I'm not saying like, oh, this law, well, why? Okay, 3/5 of the man is a clear example. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you don't. But yeah, seriously, Michaela, I mean, she's intelligent, but she's so misguided by politics. If I could, I wish to, Jordan, if you want someone to marry your daughter, I'm on 10 acres in the middle of nowhere, small ranch in Washington. I got you. I don't watch politics. I'm not left or right. I don't believe in politics. They're two wings of the same bird. If your daughter would just remove politics from her mind and from her vision, she would be the most powerful speaker. I think of this century. I truly think she has the potential, Michaela. You have the potential to be the most powerful speaker of this century if you remove the politics from your speech. Now, I deleted my Twitter this morning. Offer up. I deleted my... What the hell is... Jesus. Hold on one second. One second, guys. Okay, that was my mom. All right, we pause what we're doing for our moms over here. But back to what I was saying. You know, I deleted so many apps just because they're not conducive to my growth mentally. They don't stimulate me in any way. There's no one on Twitter who is challenging any of my ideas. Even Patrick Bet David. I love Patrick Bet David so much. When I saw him coddling to Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, like, oh, make your own media company and pay you $50 million. Like, you're pussy, Patrick. What the fuck do you mean? He just fucked up. He fucked up. It's not the media's fault. It's not the media's fault. You shouldn't be able to say anything in the public eye and it be okay. Period. If we don't want to see certain things in public, certain people be able to do certain things in public, or we don't think certain people should be able to say certain things in public. On the other end, like everything is okay, or you should, or this or that or whatever, then it should be the same on our end. But for you to coddle to Elon Musk and say, oh, just pay him $1 billion over 50 years. Who are you, Patrick? You're way, way, way bigger than that. Like, this, the shit you say, it's like you're fanboying over Elon and over Joe Rogan right now. You're just as big. You could be just as big. Your ideas are just as big. What the fuck? Why are people shrinking themselves down? Because they have the spotlight right now on what? On these apps. When you really think about it, who are these people in real fucking life? All right. When all the sports are over, right? We open up every stadium to be rented out. Now, if Elon rented out a stadium, yeah, I bet you it would sell out. People would come listen to it. Right? If Joe Rogan rented out a stadium, he sells them out now doing comedy. I get that. But I'm telling you right now, if Patrick would put himself out there and start talking about original fucking ideas instead of this bullshit propaganda that's pushed by the political parties, and he starts thinking, sitting down in the fucking toilet, in the bathroom, in his backyard. Take some fucking time off. Take a month off, bro. Stay around your kids, around your family. Eat, cook meals. Don't do shit. Don't talk to no one. And let your mind make its own ideas, because when you're around things you love, people you need to protect, your mind starts thinking different. You start thinking like a soldier. You start thinking like a protector. You start thinking like a man should. You start thinking like a lover. You start thinking like a dad. And then you start thinking, so shit, why do my kids learn this? And then you can go off a whole tangent on why that curriculum is the way it is. You start sitting, maybe you're fixing stuff around the house, even though you're in a nice house. Patrick, I saw it. Congrats on the house. Shout out to you. Joe Rogan, congrats on the house. Shout out to you. Jordan, congrats on your daughter. Shout out to my marriage. But like, when you really think about it, you can see how people, you can see how people develop these ideas about what's truly important and bring it to the internet, or then bring it to Twitter, or then bring it to the Senate floor. And then that's what everyone hops on. Everyone is capable of that original idea. Someone somewhere came up with the everyone should use the same bathroom idea. Think about it. Somewhere, somehow, someone was like, you know what? Why the fuck are we using two different bathrooms? Now, they probably had a good point or a good argument, but they weren't thinking about children. They weren't thinking about mothers and fathers with children. They weren't thinking about changing diapers. They weren't thinking about someone feeling, small people feeling safe, 6'5", 7-year-olds feeling safe. They weren't thinking about how it would work in Walmarts or in bad neighborhoods. They weren't thinking about the overall picture of how the functionality of how it works. So is it the engineer versus the mechanic? Yeah, you designed it, looks good on paper, bud, but the motor's got to get dropped in from the bottom, which means you got to pull the motor from the bottom. If the dash is the last thing put in, guess what, it's the first thing that gets has to get pulled out. You know, there's just a lot of stuff that you have to think about when you're talking about changing policy for 330 million fucking people of all different races, from all different cultures. We are a melting pot. That's what we were founded on. Supposedly, it's not what we were founded on, to be honest. If we're all being honest, America was founded, built, designed, and made for white men to flourish. You know why? Because those white men sailed across the motherfucking sea. Those white men wrote the goddamn laws. Those white men did everything. Those white men somehow got all them niggas on a boat. Not in a derogatory term. Those white men did it. Regardless of the means, they got the shit done. Those white men bled in war. Fought off a whole bigger nation with the help of I don't know what, probably don't want to know what. You see what I'm saying? So when they say, oh, this nation's, you know, it's all about white people, but well, motherfucker, what do you think? Who are you? You see the fucking pictures? You see who came over? Fuck Columbus, though. If we can all agree to say fuck Christopher Columbus, that'd be great. Well, I don't believe in, why lie about it? He wasn't even white, he was Italian. So it's not like you're even gonna give up or snitch on anyone. At the end of the day, and then the shit that was done to the Native Americans was heinous. Heinous. And I we're still not recovered. They're still not, the buffalo have still not recovered, never will. And they say, oh, it was the Native. That's the worst part, it's all the lies. Oh, the Natives overhunted them. Motherfucker, they were living side by side with them for centuries. They ate enough, got enough, buffalo skin. They made their shit, their pouches, their shoes, all that. And they're still enough for them always to hunt, eat off them, move with them, whatever. White people were trying to eradicate the Natives. That's what they do. Why do you think every alien movie is aliens coming, eradicating, trying to occupy or get resources. That's because that's what white people do every time they go somewhere. And I'm not racist. My son is half white. So it's not that I love white women. I tend to gravitate towards white women. If I see a brunette with blue eyes, bro, I'm in fucking trouble. Call my mother. If you know me, call my mom immediately. Tell her what's going on. She'll know what to do. Cause I'm not in a good place. Bruh, let me, don't even, shit, don't you, I've been name dropping this whole motherfucking episode. I done cheated on my marriage with Jordan's daughter already. About to. But bruh, Alex Taylor Racing. That's all I'm gonna say. Woo. Bruh. Trust me. Name the baby Dennis and all that. Just to suck up and be the favorite. We out here. But trust me, I will be. I'm on my way back. People don't. The people that used to know me in my past life don't know me anymore. And I don't plan on letting them know me again. But I will be who I am. The bad boy racing is on his way back. And I am planning. I'm plotting. I'm designing. I'm choosing a chassis. I'm getting that swagger back. I can feel it. Because this is how I felt back when I was putting things together. But I was too busy trying to learn the craft. I kept changing chassis, manufacturers, changing engines. I was trying to learn. And other people got farther than me in some respects because they picked one project and they stuck with one project. And, you know, they built one project. But since I was all over the place, I was able to dabble a little bit more. So it left me in a position where I could learn a lot more as well. And what that gave me is just a whole different respect and reach, I think, into the industry. So I'm going to use that reach in the industry because there's no more learning. There is no more testing. I am literally applying everything I know full force in what I'm doing. And I'm coming out swinging right out of the Pacific Northwest. So keep your eye out for that. It'll probably be 2023, 2024. I mean, I'm starting from dirt, literally. I'm breaking ground for my garage this spring, because it's all frozen. I am currently in the tundra. I am in the middle of nowhere, no distractions. I will be getting no phone calls because I don't have any friends. That's the best part. I have no one to call me to distract me. There's no bars around here. The closest bar here to here is half an hour, 30 minutes? Something like that. Walmart is 55 minutes away. Closest Walmart. I think the gas station's only like 20 to 25 minutes away. So there, I love how spaced out everything is. And I just get, you know, I'm sitting at my desk right now in my room recording the podcast. I'm staring at the chickens, watching my little sheep Coco just stare off into the abyss, probably thinking about how good it is to be a sheep. Plotting her little sheep life. And I'm just sitting here with computer equipment and all this other stuff. And all she needs is herself, her wool, and the great outdoors, bruh. And some grass. Some water, some grass, and herself. And she's fucking solid, bruh. Her and her chicken friend. She's running a gang, obviously. She's been through a lot. Little Coco. I'm gonna take this time to talk about little Coco. She was born. Her mom, she got stuck in her mom Hope didn't make it, so she got killed during her labor. Coco made it out, a perfect Coco Brown. She watched her dad get shot in the head because he was a bad ram, and we had to take him down, and it finally got cold enough for him to get butchered. And then she had to watch me get gutted. And ever since then, she ain't been the same. She a G out here. She runs the chickens, you know what I'm saying? She loves to know what's up. They can eat their food and hang out, but she's the Don. She controls the chicken coop. You know, because they all live in the big ass little thingy. You call it. I call it, it's like Charlotte's Web back there. She has not moved a muscle. It's like she's zoning in on something. Anyway. And then there's the two other sheep. My friend Mia, but my best friend Mia. Shout out Mia. She's a savage. She named the other two sheep Cosmo and Wanda. I think the white one's Wanda and the black one's Cosmo. I have to double check. And then we have Lena, big ass horn goat. She looking thick. She been eating. She just kind of stressed. She kind of the boss. She like the retired boss, like the one you gotta respect because she been around the longest. But like the new crew is up and being ran. See, Coco, but when she see you, she stare at you like she knows how to box. She looking at me right now. Like, what the fuck is this? What's on this dude's head? Anyway, shout out to the farm animals. There's like 60 chickens. We obviously don't name chickens. I think that'd be weird. Little feather raptors. Swear, those are the closest descendant to raptors. And hey, if you guys pause this podcast, and you know, this is dumb. Anyone who knows anything about podcasts and metrics or listen, I'm telling you to leave my podcast and come back. Now, I trust you to do it. Pause this podcast and Google a Jersey Giant chicken. So Jersey like New Jersey, Giant like New York Giant, chicken. Jersey Giant chicken. And that's all pretty much we have now. They're huge. The males grow to like 13 pounds. The females usually grow to about 11 pounds. And as soon as my garage is done, I'm probably going to decide on if I'm going to raise some chickens or if I'm going to raise pig. I feel like morally chickens are the best bet because pigs are kind of intelligent, and to kill them is kind of fucked up. Though when you think about, I try to think, what would they be doing in the wild? Like if I didn't domesticate them, if they weren't domesticated, what would they be doing in the wild? Also, the thing about chickens though is, but I can have chickens close to my house, you know what I'm saying? I can have them in the pen in the backyard or let them kind of like run loose in the backyard, because we don't even have net up and they won't jump out, so that's perfect. As these chickens will fuck snakes up, and we have a ton of snakes being up in the, or I'm technically in the high desert, so I have a completely different, when you think about Washington, my weather is nothing like what you think. We do not have Washington weather. It hardly ever rains. Like hardly ever rains. Rain is not a factor here. But it snows and the shit freezes, but it does not rain. It storms every now and then. Pretty cool thunderstorms because the air here is really dry, but no. But back to what I was saying. First things first though, race program, I'm getting my shop built. I'm doing a pretty simple build for a shop. I think I'm gonna start, depending on how I want to do it, I'm probably gonna end up it'll probably be like a 30 by 40 shop. My house will wrap around it, and that'll be in the back. But once I get the shop built, and then the concrete floor pumped in, that's when I will start. I have a chassis. Hopefully that's going to be recovered here soon. If it doesn't get recovered, then I'll just start from scratch, and then I have exactly what chassis I'm going to pick. It would just be about acquiring one. The power plant's picked, transmissions chosen, the motors chosen, the rear end can vary per chassis because some chassis can handle quite a bit of power, especially with the chassis I'm thinking of. I can just go to like maybe another model or like in the same make and then find another one. And if not, obviously 9-inch is always there. You can adapt pretty much a 9-inch to anything. It will be boosted. I'm thinking, obviously, I'd love to go big single, but just for cost purposes, honestly, running stuff, piping, all that stuff, it sounds like, oh, single would be easier, but depending on where you put it, how big the piping is, and fabrication time, and trying to get up and off the ground, you know, sometimes dual can be beneficial. So that's kind of where I'm probably gonna be. It's gonna be twin turb skis, twin hair dryers. It will be automatic. I'm not going with H pattern. I'm not going with stick car. It's not really in my pedigree. Well, it is in my pedigree, but it's not in my racing program's pedigree. I'm trying to make a system to where I found like six transmissions, base transmissions. I'm gonna, you know, buy three of them at a time, you know, and have six on the shelf to where I can, you know, get all the cases cleaned, you know, rip all parts out, gut them all, organize all the guts all on the shelf to where, so if something happens, you have everything ready to go. You have maybe one or two transmissions ready to go, fully ready to go, but then you get, because you're most aftermarket cases or most high performance cases, when you start building a transmission, have to be tapped, have to be drilled, there has to be this and that and blah blah blah, things have to start getting set up for the system that you're running. So that's what would probably be set up. And if they're cheap enough, you might as well, you know, say, hey, fuck, I'm gonna go get that. So I have the, and I'm trying not to give out too much now, so I can't just, like, it might change too, you know, so I don't want to, I know there's certain things that won't change, but certain things might. So I'm trying not to give out too much just in case, you know, I don't have to put my own foot in my mouth. So it will be V8. The first chassis will be V8. And there will be a developmental car being built alongside of it. So let's just say that. There will be a developmental car, for sure. 1000%. So there'll be a car I'm strictly not taking to the track. There's one I'm like taking to the track and breaking, or I'm putting parts on, scanning, 3D scanning parts, then trying to 3D print parts, and then save them in the computer. There'll be a lot of stuff going on. So that's why, you know, rule number one, have a foundation, you know, have, you know, a workspace. Yeah, that's nice and tidy. Go from there. So I'm really, really, really hoping I can recover a chassis. If I can recover this chassis, then it'll put me miles ahead. I'm talking, I'd have to strictly really think about rear end work. Get that installed and then drop the motor tranny in it. And, you know, do some, obviously some suspension work and go do some testing. So, got a car that, yeah. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. Don't want to put too much out there because, you know, these demons out here working overtime. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to come out hot with a fresh podcast. I didn't want to weigh you guys with too much, but you know, I wanted to say what was on my mind. But yeah, I'm just excited. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to be thankful for, and there's a lot to just keep real out there. You know, we gotta be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with others. We have to be honest whether we deserve punishment or not. You know, regardless of what's going on, regardless if people are taking responsibility for themselves or if they're pulling dirty tricks, that's okay. It's okay for them to pull dirty tricks. That's exactly what fucking evil corporations are supposed to do. But that doesn't mean that you don't take responsibility for your mistakes. And a shout out to Joe Rogan for being a man and doing that. But honestly, all his supporters and the people who won't let him take responsibility for his own mistakes, you guys need help, man. So just look inside and see whether you're doing what's right or if you're doing what's popular. And if you're doing what's popular, shit, you got a lot of work to do. Either way, God love you. God bless you. I'm out. This has been another episode of Dying Breed Discussions. I'm your host, Lewis Bland Anderson. Have a great day. Goodbye.